Reducing hospital readmissions has long been a health policy goal because it represents an opportunity to lower healthcare costs, improve quality, and increase patient satisfaction at once. The circumstances surrounding hospital readmissions are not fully known. Poor care coordination after discharge and poor follow-up care are considered two primary factors. But what about the patient factors, like social determinants of health? Are the social determinants really boiling the ocean of all the issues affecting healthcare today, while organizations are short-staffed with poor community resources? Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva, Principal of Operations and Quality here at Vizient and practicing physician. Joining me is Mr. Todd Baker, also a principal at Vizient. Todd, welcome to Modern Practice.
Glad to be here, Tom.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Vizient.
So I'm a principal in our quality improvement group, and I focus on our readmission reduction projects, as well as our national scorecard optimization improvement projects.
Thanks for joining us. So Todd, as you know, I've been a hospitalist for a long time. Managing patient readmissions has always been a challenge in American healthcare. Before we get to that challenge, let's level set here. What are we talking about when we refer to readmissions?
In American healthcare, this is an age-old problem. It's where a patient is discharged and they're discharged to home or potentially in post-acute environment in a SNF or with a home health agency or wherever. And then they have a recurrence of their disease, or they have an acute reaction or an infection or some version of that, and they come back to the hospital, typically coming back to the emergency department. And in many cases, they come back multiple times over a year. So it can be a very difficult problem for a hospital to manage.
So what I'm saying is that other than some of the financial issues involved with readmissions, are there other issues that we need to be concerned about? And I'm thinking like mortality, worsening conditions, stuff like that.
Certainly with readmissions, there's multiple issues to consider. Certainly increased mortality, increased morbidity with the patients. Things of that nature can certainly occur with readmissions and can be something that the hospital needs to manage to get ahead of so that the patient doesn't experience these poor outcomes.
So in my career, Todd, I've seen different things occur around the country. I've certainly participated in different ways of decreasing readmissions. So what practices have hospitals done in the past that led to readmissions?
I think the main reason, frankly, is that it's an artifact of our healthcare system. The incentives in our healthcare system are entirely misaligned to manage readmissions. Our healthcare system is about episodic care. So a hospital would be reimbursed to treat a patient for a period of time. So if it's a heart failure patient, treat that patient well, of course, in the inpatient setting. But once that patient leaves, the hospital has no incentive to manage the patient in a post-acute environment or help them with their disease state. So that's one of the major factors in driving readmissions. In addition to that, there's really tremendous siloed care at hospitals. There's no real conversations or links in the post-acute environment. Hospitals aren't financially aligned with SNFs or skilled nursing facilities and or home health agencies or other external or post-acute settings. So it can be a real challenge to create those incentives and actually pay adequately for the treatment of a patient through the continuum of care. So I think those incentives have really led to a lot of this dysfunction in managing readmissions in our market.
Just one of the many little dirty little secrets that came out during the pandemic in reference to our industry.
That's right.
So why all of a sudden is there more energy being applied today to reduce readmissions?
Well, I think the good news, and this has been coming over the last 10 years or so, but the incentives are beginning to align, if you will. It's coming slow. I mean, this is American healthcare, and fortunately, it kind of moves a little bit slower than we would all want. But CMS is issuing penalties around readmission reductions. So hospitals that perform poorly are starting to get penalized from the government. Payers are certainly becoming more aware of this and beginning to issue their own penalties and create more risk. There tends to be more and more plans out there. There are more and more incentive structures to manage the whole patient as opposed to just the episodic care. So I think the incentives are beginning to align. And to your point about the dirty secret, in the past, if you talk to a CFO in a hospital and you talked about readmissions, sometimes they're reticent to move forward with a readmission reduction process,
right?
Because they, in fact, are going to lose revenue because that new admission will actually go to the bottom line. So that becomes a challenge. But I think the incentives are beginning to align, and that'll certainly, I think, provide much more impetus to reduce readmissions.
You know, Todd, I can't help but think when you're addressing readmissions, it's kind of like boiling the ocean. We have issues with staffing going on for many of our institutions. There's a reduction in community resources for many of our patients that need it. So where should a hospital start in developing a process to address or even reduce readmissions?
Yeah, this is a real challenge for most hospitals. And from what I would suggest is there's often a very motivated set of clinicians that are highly motivated to address readmissions. And for me, where I've seen the most success in getting started, if you will, is to find the leader in a particular area. And let's say it's a cardiologist who really has a passion for managing patients in a post-acute environment, or passion for managing cardiac patients or heart failure patients, for example, in a much more holistic way. To find that leader who can help champion the efforts and put together some of the efforts to work in the post-acute environment is kind of where you can start. That's where I've seen a lot of hospitals begin this process. And I would just tell you also, there's so much inertia around this and the challenges that all the clinicians face with multiple efforts that they're required to put forth every day, that they frankly just need to start, find that leader and begin the process and begin evaluating and reduce readmissions.
Should it be all readmissions, or should they target it on certain disease states? And obviously using the data, where can they get that?
Yeah, it's a great question. One of the most important parts of readmission reduction has to do with risk stratification. And what that means is that when a patient presents in the emergency department, the hospital deploys a risk stratification methodology. And what ends up happening is you typically will find about 5 to 10% of the patients will be categorized as high risk. Another 20 or 30% will be categorized as moderate risk, and the rest are low risk. You can prioritize your efforts around those 5%, 10% of the high risk patients and actually help them reduce their readmission rates substantially by creating a methodical intervention.
You know, I like what you're getting at, in the sense that what I've seen throughout the years is that we kind of generalize it versus the homeless, the unemployed, and even those patients that are elderly. But what you're saying is to come up with an objective method of quantifying that risk and then selecting those patients by using that quantifier?
Exactly. I mean, if you're able to identify the 5% of the patients that come into your hospital that are high risk for a readmission, then you can deploy resources through the hospital stay, but also into the post-acute environment to avoid that readmission. And there's ample evidence out there that suggests that level of intervention can be very effective in reducing readmission rates.
Todd, I can't help but think in my experience that the majority of the time, it's more of a social determinant issue that causes readmissions versus clinical issues. What's your take on that?
Yeah, there's no question that the majority of the factors around readmissions have to do with social issues. In fact, if you read the literature, somewhere between 60 to 80% of the readmission reasons the patients come back to the emergency department have to do with their social environment. And there's some really fantastic work done by Amy Beltwell out of Johns Hopkins around what she has determined are called multi-visit patients. And the fascinating thing about that is that 7% of patients equals 25% of discharges, which equals 60% of readmission. If you take that to that point, you've got about 7% of the patients that equals 60% of the readmissions. And all of the majority of the factors that relate to that readmission are things like the inability to, say, get transportation to their primary care visit that they should have scheduled, or actually not even scheduling a primary care visit on discharge, or not having medications given to them on discharge so that they aren't able to fulfill their meds. And then they decompensate and return to the emergency department, oftentimes, as noted, multiple times a year. So it's a real issue, but the social issues, if you can get your hands around those, are going to make substantial impact in the readmission rates of any organization.
Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. I want to thank Todd Baker for joining us, and he'll return next episode to continue our discussion. And if you'd like to contact Todd, we put his email address on the resource section of our podcast page. And if you have any additional questions pertaining to modern practice or simply want to send your comments, please contact me at our email, modernpracticepodcast.com. We've posted a link on the resources as well. And please join us for other Modern Practice Podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.